The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for joining us today, all you beautiful people. We appreciate you.
You beautiful, you right there. Listening to my voice, you're beautiful. I love you. Is that creepy? I'm sorry. It's weird. Anyway, I just wanted you to feel special, whoever you are. I want you to feel special. You are special. Okay, let me get back to this. Okay, you guys, we have had a really freaking technical difficulties, man. It's like every friggin' time we're recording lately, right, Christy?
The struggle is real.
For real. It sucks, but you know what? It's worth it because these two lovely people on the show today are amaze balls, by the way, and you are going to love them. They are so talented and they're married to each other and they work together, and I'm not quite sure how they haven't killed each other yet. I'm probably guessing they might go to therapy, counseling, don't know.
Maybe they really just genuinely like each other.
Maybe.
It could be.
It could be. So weird. But anyway, we've got Aaliyah and Nick on today. And we're going right into this because we wasted so much technical time that Christy, being the busy little bee that she is, has to, you know, be done on time. So there you go.
Sorry.
We're doing a lot of banter. Yeah.
I got one day with my kids at camp to bang out 10 to 12 hours of wedding planning work.
Bang it out. Bang, bang, bang. Okay. So I am going to go ahead and read their bio blurb. I hate that word blurb. It's like moist to me.
I like it.
Blurb. I don't like it. I don't like it. Okay, here we go. Valley & Company Events was founded by husband and wife Aaliyah and Nick Valley in 2003, and they provide innovative planning, design, and floral for beautiful and fun storied weddings and parties. The Valleys and their team serves clients in the Pacific Northwest, nationwide, and abroad. So pretty much anywhere, okay? And pride themselves on telling the stories of their couples and clients. Their new book, Storied Weddings, encourages couples with all different backgrounds and styles to get creative with their visions, guiding them to create elevated details and experiences that come together to create their own signature wedding. Aaliyah and Nick love to travel, entertain, and spend time at the zoo with their kiddos, and love their wedding community. Work and expertise from Valley & Company has been featured in Martha Stewart Weddings, Town & Country, Sunset Magazine, Better Homes & Gardens, Brides, MSN, and so many more outlets. The Valleys have been named Best Planners by Brides Magazine and The Knot, and love what they do. Welcome, Aaliyah and Nick Valley, to the podcast.
Thank you, ladies, for having us.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you. Good morning.
We feel like hustlers because we met you at WED, the event that we did in Boston with
We did.
Yeah, that was
fun. That's sort of the whole point of those events, is that we're supposed to connect with awesome pros and then circle back and keep in touch and collaborate and look at us. We're doing all the things.
We did it.
Actually did it.
Winning.
I know. It was awesome to meet you guys there. And I have to say, though, like when I'm reading your bio and everywhere you've been published, and we had this conversation recently. How the hell does that happen? Are you all submitting? Are your photographers submitting? Like, how are you getting all into all these publications? Or is this because you're so friggin' amazing and you're so good that they're like, oh my God, look at this. They have to be in. How does that work?
It goes back to the hustle. You know, we have years of relationships that we've created with lots of publications. And as you likely know, those, you know, contacts change rapidly. One year you might have one editor at a magazine that moves to another magazine. And so it's really just staying in touch and then showing them the best of what we produce every year. And a lot of editors reach out to us at the beginning of each wedding season to kind of tap into what we have on deck. A lot of our weddings, you know, they might feature just a snippet. There might be a full spread, or they might just feature our expertise and tips. So that's pretty common. Like in Sunset Magazine, they featured us in a different kind of entertaining spread for summer. So it's not all weddings. It's also kind of that balance of entertaining and lifestyle as well that I think gives us a little bit of diversity.
Well, we wanted to the book that we got to look through, Storied Weddings, when we were at WED, it's a beautiful book, a coffee table book, if that can be a title, like, you know, these gorgeous photos and inspiration. Yes. And people would just look through it if they were in my office or whatever. So of all of those weddings, I'm assuming there's got to be a couple in there that are like favorites of yours. And we would love to hear why, like what makes... They're all beautiful, but what makes a wedding your favorite from a planner's perspective in terms of like working with the client, who the clients were, what kind of people they were, how much trust they had in you, all of those relationship elements?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And every wedding of ours, we really strive for them to look and feel completely different than the last wedding. We want our weddings to reflect our couples, and when clients come to us or potential clients, we really tap into getting to know who they are, where they love to travel, what they like to eat, just what makes them tick. And we turn those little nuances into details in their wedding. In the book, you know, we showcase some really fun weddings for awesome clients. And they all, again, just looked and felt like our couples. One of them was in downtown Seattle. It was a ballroom wedding. It was very traditional, and we illuminated the Great Wheel right on the Seattle waterfront, which is very cool. It was in their wedding colors. It was glowing. It was just kind of the perfect like end to this black tie wedding that was fun and festive. Dreamy. And it was. And guests took pictures. There's another wedding at this Rainier Club in Seattle that's this old storied kind of dinner club. And that just felt really special and wintry and had lots of personal touches that guests really got to experience and enjoy.
It was the winery that's in there. That was a family friend owns the winery and let them use it for the event. And that was a pretty amazing night because it's the one and only that'll ever happen there. And just pulling that off in a field that was never meant to have an event and it just going so well. But in the book, the weddings you see, they were not cherry-picked over the course of our career. They landed in a row. And so they all happened the year that we were shooting the book, that the deal came in and what we decided, we wouldn't cherry-pick events for the book, and we wouldn't guide anyone down the road to get into the book. They had to choose the specific photographer. And if that worked, that's really how they got in. But
that's interesting.
Yeah, because we didn't want to modify anybody's life for us.
And see, my assumption when I was looking at that book, I was like, God, they must have just gone through all their weddings and been like, yep, I want this one in there. I want this one in there. I want this. So that was all over the course of weddings that you did within 1 year?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you probably besides that, but those are the ones that used that photographer and agreed to be in the book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And they didn't know that if they chose the photographer, it meant they got in the book. And then we went, all their designs, everything was done before we said, hey, would you be interested in doing this?
Really?
Yeah. So we didn't change anybody's story. We didn't go and say, hey, I like this person's look. I like this style. It best reflects us, because that's never been our business model. We really know, I guess we study all style in reality. So if you look at our work over 16 years, it's just a bunch of different great people's style kind of honed in and perfected. So no, what you saw was just really a sample of 1 year. And if you landed on that photographer and you were interested in doing it, of course, there were a few massive, really fun, elaborate productions that just the photographer wasn't a match, the O'Malley's, for whatever reason. And so that's the way it went. They didn't get in the book because we wanted one cohesive look.
Your story.
That's very impressive to me. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it really kind of is. It was one. It all just, the stars lined up, and we were discussing, and we thought, if we go and change everything, then I don't know how well we feel about it, I guess.
Yeah, it's just not true to us and true to our clients. And then the way that the book worked out and the way that these weddings just aligned with our calendar, just magic.
I'm curious, and I'm just really, for my own, you know, purposes, has the book helped you in getting more business or getting more exposure? Like how has the book impacted you? And if you want me to cut this out, I can have it cut out of the podcast, but I'm just like, for my own reasons, I want to know.
No, it's a great question. The book, you know, we've long dreamed of having a coffee table book that's a resource guide, and we really wanted to create something that anyone could pick up and they could read it now and look at the pictures now and take our sage advice and advice from fellow pros that we included in the book. They could use that this year. They could use it 5 years from now, 20 years from now. We really wanted to create a timeless book. It doesn't feel trendy. And so I think that's probably the biggest compliment that we've gotten. You know, we didn't make the book for any other reason than to just create this tool. And I think we've gotten this great feedback because people feel, whether it's in our industry or couples getting married, people love it because they can pass it on. They can dog ear it. They can literally write in the back. We have pages, you know, that people can use as that kind of a tool. And, you know, of course, we've gotten some great press and feedback from that too, which is all kind of part of what we do, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. So I want to know right off the bat, here, I wrote these last minute questions. You don't know about them. Ha ha.
We're good at that.
Christy touched on your favorite wedding, I think. And I don't know if we got really quickly, don't think about it. Nick, what's your favorite wedding? Go.
It's hard to answer that, to be honest. So there are elements of so many different ones. I think we like the weekends. We do a lot of kind of, I don't know, for elevated camps for adults kind of feeling. Those are pretty fun because people come from all over the globe and land in a random spot and kind of have three nights of events. So there was a great one on an island out here in Washington that was just kind of one of those things. The super moon lined up. We had three different parties. It just was kind of one of those weekends you really don't get to duplicate. So that was probably, it was somebody we can't say. So I've been trying to answer it as honestly as I can without not slipping up.
Does that mean that's a famous person?
It just means I can't say who it is.
take that.
I guess. Yeah. There are stories. After this many years, it's the truth. 16 years of going into 17 years of planning. Now, there are so many different people's lives that we've got to take part in that just kind of give you a little story. And sometimes something will come up and we'll remember a name and go, oh, do you remember that night? And so it's kind of hard to say one that goes, wow, I can remember a million moments. But I guess that I hope that's
I think they're little glimpses from the years. You know, it might be this awesome like fireworks show or this raging dance party, you know, where the band had people, guests up on stage singing and dancing, and or it might be food from one wedding that was memorable. So I don't know. For me, we were just on Maui, actually right before wed. We got home like 2 days before. We were on Maui and we planned this amazing, beautiful, intimate wedding for our darling clients for about 60 guests. And it was very special and it was really family centered and it was beautiful. It just reminded us what weddings are all about. You know, we were very fortunate to do what we do. We love what we do and it's rewarding. And I think getting to step back and just see, you know, when you remove so much of the logistics and so much of, you know, grandness, which we love. But just if you kind of peel back those layers and you bring everyone to an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and they're, you know, on a boat excursion looking for whales, and we have cocktails and our, you know, poo-poo platters, Hawaiian style. And it's just very laid back and fresh. And it just felt like our couple, it just really drove home. Like, we're in the right business. We're doing what we love. We're doing the right thing. And getting to create those moments in time for couples is pretty awesome.
I can touch on what you just said, because something stood out to me with the idea of being on the boat and we're drinking and it's beautiful and maybe there's a whale. You can't plan that. You're not God, but probably you did your research.
Right.
But you said that it felt very laid back. And I think there's something to our jobs. It feels laid back because so much work was put into it on the front end. Intentional, deliberate choices were made so that the feeling of the event is laid back.
Absolutely.
That's the goal for every wedding that we plan. Even black tie, formal, you know, New Year's Eve event, we still strive for that laid back feel, because that means guests and our clients are like on a ride, basically. They don't have to think about anything. They don't have to do anything. They just get to be present and everything happens sort of effortlessly.
That's so spot on. You know, Nick and I have always said there's this one moment at every event, you know, no matter what kind of event, formal, informal, casual, there's this moment in time where we've got them. And that could be, you know, during toasts where the father of the bride is telling, you know, this hilarious story and roasting. It could be, you know, during the ceremony when everyone is just captivated in this breathtaking moment. Or it could be, usually for us, it's where everyone's on the dance floor, they're having the time of their lives, and they're in that moment in time and they're nowhere else. You know, maybe someone lost their job that week. Maybe, you know, they're just having a hard time. Someone's ill. They've all kind of put whatever's happening in the world and in their lives on pause to celebrate these two people. And we work so hard to create that moment and that, like you said, that comfort. And seeing that just kind of pulled together and people experiencing that is really why we do what we do.
Yeah, there's a huge part of answering the questions before they're asked and trying to kind of look for every potential area that could cause an issue and solve it before. And, you know, making sure there's enough staff, making sure that you know where everything goes, all of those. So yeah, that I think people that don't do it have no idea how much time is actually put into just that. And it's something nobody, I've met nobody who is born with the ability. It just takes years to figure out how people move and react to know, hey, you know what, this isn't going to work here. It's
troubleshoot well ahead of any actual trouble means that we're running over maybe 100 scenarios in our head when only one of those, if even, will end up coming up on the event day.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think anybody at any budget that is considering hiring a planner, whether it's, you know, huge over the top, hundreds of thousands of dollars kind of wedding or something smaller and more accessible, if you're considering hiring a planner, when you're talking to them, I would say that would be, that is something you need to bring up and work out. All like, what is the process ahead of the wedding day so that the wedding day is not just a matter of like doing your best and catching up, but what are some of the things you do ahead of time to make sure that the wedding day feels laid back and effortless for me and my guests?
It's that framework. It's understanding the priorities to a couple and their families and friends, and then executing based on a really strong framework. So making sure that you have plans A, B, and C established in advance, having the best creative team, and just understanding a timeline. I think those are some of the biggest kind of initial framework pieces that we put together when we get started. And, you know, just like with the house, you have to have a really strong framework for it to hold up and to last over time.
I have to stop. You know, it just made me realize, like, we talk on this podcast to couples getting married. So, I mean, that's really what we're doing this for, right? I mean, we're talking to you, those listening, getting married. We're giving you advice. We're telling you what's happened in the past with us. We're talking to other vendors, photographers, you know, we're talking to a lot of vendors, but I don't know that we necessarily talk directly out there, you know, to planners. And I just have to say that listening to the three of you right now talk about what we do, I don't always really let that sink in. You know, I don't always let that sink in when I'm at these networking events and I'm meeting other planners and we're all judging each other and being like, oh my God, I heard she's such a bitch. You know, you all are fucking amazing. And those listening, if you have a planner, some of you have had some bad experiences, but I mean, for the most part, you know, planners are awesome. And I just have to give you all props out there listening. If you are planners listening, like, keep doing what you're doing. We know that it's in, you're doing this out of mostly out of the goodness of your heart, like we do. And, you know, we all work damn hard and it is not effortless. It might look that way, but it is fucking hard. So anyway, yeah. I just had to say that. You all are amazing.
Thank you.
It's true. It's a part of our everyday life. Someone asked us at one of the book signings recently, a couple of them ago, and they said, how do you guys, being married, how do you guys separate what you do? We don't. It's part of every day of our life. It's not our job and then we go home. It, you know, when the kids go to bed and all that, we often are bouncing ideas and figuring out how to get Barn Gables in some place. Or, you know, it's just part of who we are now. I wouldn't know any different if it wasn't here.
How did you meet? How did the two of you meet?
Aaliyah is my best friend's little sister.
Oh, really? How did he feel about that?
I've always had a reputation of being a good guy. And so I think his only one sentence was, you don't date sisters, you marry them. Oh. And that was 19 years ago.
Yeah. Well, that was it. Yeah. That was in 1999, actually.
Yeah.
That's and beautiful.
Yeah. I followed Nick to college and the rest is history.
Okay, wait. So like how much younger is the little sister than you?
1 year.
Okay, sorry, that's gross. Aaliyah.
One year.
Yeah. We framed that.
Just 1 year. Yeah.
1 year younger than Nick. Okay. Yeah. And so what, Nick, this was your best friend like growing up?
Yeah, we went to middle school and high school and we're still great friends. Yeah.
One day you're at his house and you're like, dude, your sister's hot.
It was on a ski trip and they Aaliyah and her younger brother were there as well, but we didn't all go together. And so I went with my group of friends and Brooke, my buddy, her brother, saw Aaliyah and Evan and said, oh, look at, they're here, you know, something like that. Yeah. And that's how we met. So we didn't all leave on something. It was just a random chance.
Yeah. And I was snowboarding.
How old were you when you met like that day? What were your ages?
Aaliyah was 17.
I was 17 turning 18 and Nick was 18 turning 19. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was a freshman in college. That's like me and my husband. We were those ages too.
That's awesome. Yeah. I don't know.
You grow up together.
Literally grow up together. Okay. And so how much couples therapy have you had?
Oh my God.
Zero.
What?
No, you guys
gotta get on that train, okay?
We really do genuinely love being together and you know, we have kiddos and that's added a new, you know, element to the mix and having our business certainly adds a new element to the mix. But as Nick said, you know, we built our business together and so this is all we've known.
Do you ever just feel like it's your love story and your kids just to get to be a part of it sometimes?
They're just along for the ride.
Yeah. They're lucky.
I
kind of feel like that with my kids sometimes. I'm like, oh yeah, guys. Sorry guys. It's like, but, you know, That's cool. So how many kids do you have?
We have two. We have two kiddos. Ava just turned 5 and Bennett, or Benny we call him, just turned 2.
Oh, you waited a long time to have kids.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Nice.
That's how we built this business.
Yep.
Wow. That's cool.
Was planning your own wedding a jumping off point for business or were you already...
No, so Nick proposed, he actually got 2 degrees, so he had an extra year of college while I was in my senior year, and that's when he proposed, and so we planned our own wedding during that year, and we also produced a lot of events in college, formal events, but also big parties, non-university, non-approved. So I don't know. We just loved events and just kind of, again, those feelings that events create. And as we were graduating, we had an opportunity to produce an event for a nonprofit here in Seattle, and we took it. And then we had someone we knew interested in having us help them plan their wedding. And we didn't, of course, really know what that meant in 2003. Then we got married. We had about 225 guests. We kind of call it like coastal black tie. So it was formal, but really fun, really laid back. It was at my parents' home on a teeny tiny island in the Salish Sea, which is just outside of Seattle. It was a really great time. We had a band, big open bar, lots of great food. And then from there, I think we both just kind of fell in love with the party aspect and the celebration. And Nick's has always been great at throwing parties. That dates back to his youth.
Yeah.
I'll leave that story, those stories for another time. But we loved just being part of that together. And I don't think way back then we really knew the opportunity and this great future that we had ahead of us. But we sure loved throwing parties, and we love planning our own wedding, and it just kind of spun from there with people asking us to help them, and it became a business before we knew it.
Yeah, we didn't sit down and frame it out and then go out there and work. It more came to us, and we did one project and another, and then the way, you know, you guys know it, it's cyclical. So after the first year, people were booking for the second year, and we went, all right, well, I guess we'll try it. But it was never my path. No, I was never. The first one I remember laughing about, but they said, because Aaliyah said, you want to do it? I went, no way. And their side, they had been to parties, house parties of ours, and they said, could you do the party? You know, kind of like how you did the last big one we did. And I said, sure, I'll do the bands and the bars and the, you know, just figuring out the logistics of the party itself. Where do the people go? How do all of that? And then Aaliyah took what you'd call the wedding-y stuff and the design. And we kind of mixed that together. And back then, you know, I guess still now, but there really wasn't, there wasn't anybody like me. So during the process, a lot of people, you know, there was that kind of stigma of guy, if it's a male-female wedding, guys, you just, you know, just kind of,
You just show up.
Don't worry about it. You don't care. And I've got a big group of friends, and I grew up throwing parties. They may have not been decor elaborate, but they were quite fun. And, you know, I guess I kind of saw that when we were doing ours, that it was kind of, you know, why would you care about any of this? And really, it's been one of the secrets, because we've worked with NFL and NHL, and I've yet to meet one guy in that format of answering that has said, oh, I don't care at all.
Right.
All right. So let's move into giving some really great advice to these people listening, planning their weddings, and maybe even other planners listening. Because the one thing, not the one thing, but when we saw you at WED and we chatted, and then we heard your presentation at WED, there was this really great story. And you guys do a lot of weddings. You do a lot of large scale weddings. You work with clients of probably higher budgets, I would assume. But regardless of the budget, I think one thing that really, really resonated with me that you were talking about was that we all think about these big details, or at least those people planning, right, who don't have a planner to guide them, these big things they need to get out of the way. They have to hire all the vendors. They have to have the location. They have to do the food, like all of the really obvious things. But it's all about these small details that really make it what you're calling a storied wedding or personalized
memorable
wedding. Memorable guest experience. And so I really want you to talk to everyone listening about, you know, kind of your inside tips and things that people can easily apply right now who are planning their wedding, of all budgets, remember, that they can take away from this episode.
Okay. So I think definitely one of the big ones, we're seeing it more and more now, you're not designing a photo shoot. And I think a lot of people have a lot of experience in photo shoots. We're working on the memories for the people that are there. And the photo, if it's great, is because you've put together a great memory and you've captured it. But looking, you know, in a good example, somebody recently was sharing a story with us about this amazing wedding they went to, and it looked you know, from the eye, it was amazing. Nothing else was done right. Right. And they could tell it was all for pictures, but no human experience was really taken into account. So making something look amazing is really important. It changes the way you see everything. It's just, I mean, literally everything has changed when you start, you know, kind of perfecting the details. But when you're looking at your event, really think about the people first, your guests that are there. The more fun the guests have, the more fun you have, the more successful, you know, is the word I'm going to use as somebody who does it. Yeah. The event is, the project is. So if you've just designed, you know, you put this giant thing in the middle of the room, whatever that is, some piece, and there's nothing else around it, you're not going to get the same kind of emotion as, you know, you might have a great picture, but the people aren't having a great time. And so a lot of what we're doing, trying to answer the questions, making sure, you know, I know one example, you know, having drinks served as soon as people are walking in and having people with trays, and that can be water, non-alcoholic, whatever the season is, setting your guests at ease immediately changes the entire day.
Mm-hmm. That's a welcome beverage as they are arriving for the ceremony.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it could be as simple as, you know, sparkling water that's passed on a tray. Having a greeter welcoming your guests and giving them, you know, greeting them with this big smile or giving them a hug or, you know, just making sure that people know, okay, I'm here. I'm in the right place. I already feel at home. It doesn't have to be, you know, we love grand, beautiful details, but they don't have to be grand.
More expensive. That doesn't cost to have your best friend or somebody who's been wanting to help, who knows everybody, be like, hey, John, how's it going? It's so good to see you. Like,
Absolutely. You know, the ceremony's this way. You can hang your coats over here. You know, just giving someone the lay of the land makes them feel so at ease, and it takes such little effort.
And get them on entrance, because that changes.
Some of the weddings I've been doing lately, they don't have, they might have like people in their wedding party, groomsmen or bridesmaids, but they might not have greeters or, you know, somebody that they've, we're not going to have programs, so we don't need anybody. And I always pull a couple people in the wedding party, like Michelle, somebody that knows a lot of the people, like Michelle said, that knows a lot of the people, or a family member or some younger cousins, somebody to stand outside. If it's, you know, there's several entrances, like come on in this door, or just to welcome people with a smile right when they get there. But also I always tell them where the bathrooms are, because for some reason, when people come to a wedding, I would say at least half the people that walk in the door ask, where's the bathroom? And it's almost like they just have to know, like just to be safe. Like it makes me feel more confident to be at this wedding if I know where the bathroom is. Not that I have to go right now, but so I'll tell some, you know, 15-year-old like junior groomsmen, like all you have to do is say hi, hold the door open. You don't have to hand them anything. Just smile, say welcome, and make sure you know where the bathroom is.
It's the simple, basic things you have to answer first. And they're not pretty. They're not part of a picture or anything else. Mm-hmm. Just those simple, basic needs. If people also want to know where the table is, because we all humans want an island. We want a place to put our stuff. And that's really why people are always rushing tables early from the event planner standpoint. We all know that it's not they're just dying to see the room. They just want to know they have a spot. We all know they have a spot, and they know they have a spot.
Yeah.
But you just kind of want to know. You want to know, where are the bathrooms? You know, if I'm thirsty, I want a drink. Is it cold? I want something to make me warm. Those basic answering those, and you just see the shoulders kind of release and people, you know, they're nervous too. I feel like the bathroom thing, people always have to use the bathroom because they're nervous to go to events. I get that.
And we always try to plan, you know, as much in advance as we can for weather. And of course, weather changes, but having big bins of umbrellas at the ready. For outdoor weddings, we have big vases full of heel protectors that you can buy on Amazon. And so many ladies show up to weddings wearing these, you know, pointy stilettos, and they can't walk in the grass, but you give them heel protectors and they instantly feel like, I'm really well taken care of. Just very simple welcoming details like that go a very long way to show guests that you care. Things like handwritten or printed thank you notes that are on each place setting, just thanking the guests for coming and telling them what they mean to the couple. That's a really nice, thoughtful touch that doesn't take much effort or, a high cost. And then I think what people are experiencing, just thinking from a timeline perspective, what is the guest going to be looking at? What are they going to be listening to? What kind of music is playing? What does their walk look like from the ceremony to the reception? And then making sure that any points along that journey have little touches if need be. You know, if there's a beautiful table in an entryway, maybe that's one focal point where you put a big, beautiful arrangement, and the table centerpieces, you know, could be grand. And they could also be scaled back, but using those kind of target points, I said at WED, you know, we call them impact points. So having these kind of little areas where we have statement pieces, whether that's visual or an experience or an activity, it could be something like oyster shuckers or a wine tasting station, whatever those impact points are, make sure that you kind of envision your guest's journey and their actual walk through what happens when they arrive, where are they sitting for the ceremony, where are they getting up and going for cocktails, and just connecting all of those dots and making sure that you've actually physically walked through what that looks like and that it feels good to you from a couple's standpoint.
Thinking about those impact points can help with budgeting as well. If you're thinking like, I don't have a ton of money to spend on flowers, then walking through the space or visualizing where like those opportunities are that get the most like bang for your buck, essentially.
Yes.
A beautiful arrangement on a welcome table that everybody walks past might be worth more to you than, I don't know, putting a lot of arrangements on cocktail tables that are outside and are going to stay outside and only be seen for that hour.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so true. And I think thinking of details in that impact point kind of thought process will help couples to decide what's important. Ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, maybe having a beautiful greenery or floral installation over a dance floor makes sense because that's where the party is and people will be there for hours. So, you know, figuring out, you don't have to throw a million designs across a wedding and have so much going on if that's not what you're comfortable with, if that's not where your budget is. So focusing on what's really important and then using those impact points and thinking about that from both a visual standpoint, but also from the experience standpoint will really help to kind of elevate those details.
Favors or no favors? Go.
Favors, as long as they make sense. If they're edible, that's edible or usable. We don't.
That's what we've always said. If you can eat it or drink it, give it away.
Yep. Yeah. And it has to feel special. We have a wedding coming up the end of June at this beautiful property. It's a lodge, Salish Lodge and Spa. It's perched above Snoqualmie Waterfalls. They have an apiary, and so they have amazing honey, and that's part of the story of the property. So we're giving guests, you know, little honey favors, and it means something. You know, it tells the story of the property, and it's something cool for out-of-town guests. But aside from things that don't mean anything, you know, if it's just something that you're buying on Amazon because you feel like you have to give something away, maybe put that money towards something else that is more important to you.
It's more visual clutter.
Yep. Mm.
And we throw away so much.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Especially me.
Yeah.
Hey, tell us about the most extravagant wedding you've ever planned. Impress us.
And then I'm gonna
ask you to impress us with the least extravagant wedding you've ever planned. Okay.
Well, okay. There has been a lot of extravagance on all different scales. Some are, you know, from an aesthetic standpoint where we have just layered theatrical lighting and amazing installations and lots of entertainment. But one that comes to mind would probably be this 4-5 day wedding, actually, where we planed in on a private plane, a whole entire wine collection from California to Washington for the bride's father. And this collection was incredible. And that was, we had, you know, this whole list of what the wine was and what had to be done with it
right away. So the manifest came after the delivery, and we didn't realize maybe to the extent that how amazing they had bought a couple of entire vintages of champagne. And when we finally looked, to be honest, I didn't even realize that was a thing. So that was to just buy every bottle that was made that year.
Whoa.
And
We realized that just 10 seconds ago.
Yes, well.
By the way, next time call me, I will make sure the cargo arrives to you safely.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. I'm over here really close to Napa.
Yeah, it was. It came from around San Francisco, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Is where they flew it in from. But that was pretty wild. And then the funny side of that story, that we had rented a big section of this island, and the crew had never done at the place that we chose, they'd really never done anything like this. So there were a lot of learning curves that Aaliyah and I were working with over that week. And
did you drink any of it? Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, they sent us home with some bottles.
Yeah,
which was
they gave us
great.
Okay.
Good.
Almost a case.
Good. Good.
Yeah, we still have a few of them actually as keepsakes.
Yay.
But they stuck all the crew from the venue, or the property, I should say, it wasn't a venue. They stuck all of the cargo into like one of those outdoor sheds.
Yeah.
And we went to go place it to start getting in coolers and whatnot. And it was just kind of all thrown in an 80-degree shed for about an hour. And it was
like, this is some of the best wine in the world. What are you doing?
And I had to show the boss the manifest that and I will rarely do this, but I will say this today since it does wrap the story up, because we usually don't share the like finance details, but the champagne alone was $1,000 a bottle.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
OMG.
And it was laying in this 80-degree shed. And I'm realizing the impact of this is going over the manifest. And so I got the main guy there. I said, hey, we got to get this stuff, you know, come on. And we opened up the door and it was laying there. And I said, that one box is the price of a brand new Honda. And all of their faces kind of went like, oh, and I said, we've got it, you know, and that one always cracks me up, kind of the highbrow, lowbrow of bringing this kind of stuff to the place we were working at, and all of us going, oh, okay, don't drop the box.
Yeah, don't drop the box. We were on quality control that week.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. But the guests loved it.
Yeah.
Everyone, I mean, the wine was a massive hit, and it was paired with, yeah. It was great. It was worth it.
Okay.
But it wasn't done ostentatiously either.
No.
It was never shown. They weren't on display of labels or anything. It was done as a pure gift, not as a power move, I guess.
Yeah.
It was just served so that people had a wonderful time. But it was never, no one ever focused on what it was that was being served.
Nice.
So that was one.
Yeah. What about the least extravagant? It was the simplest.
Gosh, we've had some elopements over the years, and I wouldn't even say simplest, just less people. You know, I think with any wedding, whether it is really extravagant, whether it's a 400, 500 guest, super black tie, fancy wedding with all the bells and whistles, or this, you know, wonderfully sweet wedding we had last fall for this couple who they flew in from the Midwest, six of their family members. And we still went through the same process. We understood what was important to them. They got married in a conservatory, so it was just beautiful. It was kind of this chilly, crisp, foggy October day. It was really romantic, and it just felt so special because it was all about them, and it was just smaller. And then we had vintage cars whisk them all away to their dinner. That we have this private restroom. Restaurant on the water, on the lake. And again, it was fall. It was romantic and charming. And it was so understated, but beautifully done. We had centerpieces and this beautiful cake, but the details were just, they were them. And they had little record invitations and a record guest book because they love music. And they had games to play at the table because they love playing games. And it was just, it was everything that they wanted.
What was the guest book? How did they do that?
They had, I don't remember what I think it was a Beatles record.
Yeah.
And the guest wrote on the album, the album sleeve. And so they got to keep it and just take it home. And it was
Putting it up on their wall.
Yeah.
Right.
When you were very first starting out, like, did you take any type of wedding? Was it like, I mean, were you hustling at some point when you decided like, okay, we're really going for it?
Absolutely. Yeah. The hustle was real, and the hustle still is real, but now we've hustled for so long that we have a little bit, you know, luxury of making sure we really connect with our clients and their Valley and Company clients, meaning they want to show their guests a great time and they want something that's beautiful and fun and is a really great experience. And so over the years, we've kind of learned what makes sense to us in terms of our ideal client and just how we can create a fun planning environment. But in the beginning, we definitely, you know, we took everything we, you know, that came our way. And I think as a wedding planner or a creative business owner starting off, you know, you have to do that in most cases or in a lot of cases to pay the bills and just to get that experience. And we can say, you know, we've worked with all sorts of different couples because we do. And we have worked in all sorts of different venues because we do. But way back when, you know, again, we didn't know what we know now. And so we did take things that were incredibly logistically challenging, yeah, or, you know,
nearly impossible.
Yeah.
You can't do it now. There's no learning the ropes. There's a lot to be said. And I think it's good for if people are in the industry or hiring people, learn it. There's a lot to be said for learning the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to take on the productions we take on now, back then we would have failed miserably. And people should do that. And that's really what you should be looking for when you're hiring somebody or when you're getting into this business. The idea of taking on a 5-day production with a dollar figure that breaks down to, you know, minutes have hundreds of dollars on them. That kind of, if you look at it in that scale, you really shouldn't be doing that yet because you don't want to, you don't want to blow that. There's just too much going on and it's too special of a day. You know, we say you get 4, maybe 5 times in your life, you're highly celebrated. And this is really one of the biggest ones, if not the biggest one. So taking the small ones really is the natural progression that people should still stick to, and the easier productions and the guest counts and the, you know, I don't mean small by budget, small just where they're, the amount of pieces on the table are manageable for you. So yeah, we earned every bit of, I folded napkins, I've set tables.
And we still do.
Yeah.
We need to. There's nothing really we won't do. And I think when you've been doing this as long as we have, there's just, you know, we're always grinding for our clients. We're always working as hard as we can and giving it everything we have. I was having this conversation the other day that doesn't matter. You know, we have 4 or 5 days to produce an event and we're on site and everything, you know, this beautiful framework is laid and we have our A++ team and we're all hands on deck. We're still changing in the bathrooms and freshening up right before guests arrive. You know, there's just, we always want to make sure that we strive for excellence and make sure that every detail is ready and guests are, you know, excited to be welcome to this incredible experience that we've created. And if that means, which it does, you know, that we're schlepping and, you know, doing the heavy lifting, you know, by all means, that's what we'll do.
Yeah, we're still last ones out the door. And I don't think we'll ever change that. We still usually are the ones that lock up. Maybe a couple of our crew are there, you know, doing a sweep up or something. But we're there for the entire part. And, you know, we've never become too good for any job. And there was the last event over the winter, one of our newest crew members, I was doing something and she said, I didn't know you knew how to do that. And it kind of struck me as funny to think, you don't think I know how to do that? You know, I was doing that when you were like 9. Or not even, that's horrible. Actually, yeah, she wasn't even 9. She was like 6.
I was going to say, that's possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, you should take everything you can that's manageable. You know, I think.
And that excites you too.
Yeah,
you know, don't take something if you think, oh, this doesn't sound fun. You know, or surround yourself with good people, good clients, good creative team. And that's helped us grow our business and grow our community in a big way.
Yeah. Expectations to budgets, you know, that's all the things that both sides need to, you know, the couples as well as the people working it, that, you know, if you've got a champagne vision and a beer budget, you got to kind of meet in the middle. And, you know, just try to find something that will do what you want to do, that you can do well. And, you know, usually, truthfully, free little piece of advice, that's all guest count. You can pull off a lot with a 6-person wedding that Aaliyah was talking about earlier that you can't pull off with 300 people. And that's, you know, I guess something we always look at.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Great. Well, I think this is a good place to end unless there's anything else you wanted to throw out there other than how people can find you.
You can find us at valleyandco.com, and our social handle on most social platforms is Valley and Co. So that's V as in Victor, A-L-L-E-Y-A-N-D-C-O. And then our book, Storied Weddings, is available really anywhere that books are sold. You can buy it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Go into your local bookstore and order the book. We would appreciate the support and hope that you enjoy just learning how to tie in bits of you guys into your wedding.
Yeah, thank it was a real so pleasure much. Meeting you guys too.
I want to
say you guys did such a good job emceeing it, the wed. That both Aaliyah and I went, wow, these guys really have got a solid talent on this. You kept the energy high and you were funny. And
You're warm. And we appreciated just you guys inviting us to do this and collaborating. And we value what you bring to our industry and to couples planning. And thanks so much for having us.
Well, that really means a lot. Thank you so much for saying that. That's very heartwarming. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Oh God, I love you guys.
thank you. And remember, we're always available to schlep champagne or taste test for you.
Yes.
No, really. And if you need anything out here or over in the Arizona area, Christy's got you covered there. I've got you covered out here. So just hit us up. I really, really have appreciated meeting you and I'd like to definitely stay in touch. So
likewise, you girls make us laugh.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right, Christy, do your thing, girl.
We are a little low on reviews, right, Michelle? You said there's been a couple weeks since we've gotten a deluge.
Yeah.
Come on, step it up.
I've been like opening iTunes and I'm like,
Okay, so make Michelle's day, me as well, after she texts me a screenshot of it. iTunes, if you listen to us and subscribe on iTunes, please take just a minute and rate and review. It matters and it gets us up the list so that when other listeners want a great wedding planning podcast, we show up so that they can find us and it's a circle of life and everything gets better for everyone. Our Instagram handle is at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and we're using the hashtag plan that wedding on what we post. And we look at that hashtag too. So if you're out and about doing your own wedding planning or you're trying on dresses or you're ordering your Birdie Gray bridesmaid dress or whatever, hashtag so that we can comment and follow along with your wedding planning journey. On Facebook, we are at TBWP Podcast, or you can just search the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We also have a private group community. You ask to be approved in that group, and it's with over 100 other listeners. Over 200? It's growing. And everyone's commenting and answering questions, and we chime in as much as possible too. And it's a great place for us to bounce ideas off of, because we know it's a small pool of our loyal listeners. So join us there. Our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com, and our email, which is the best way to reach us, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to support us and the podcast on Patreon, we would so appreciate that. Patreon, Patreon. You can set up like an automatic $5 a month, 10, 20 to support us while you're listening. And we're helping you to plan that wedding. We also offer one-on-one consulting with either one of us or both of us. And that's a great way if you have some wedding planning conundrums that you want to work out on a one-on-one basis. We'd love to set that up with you. Just email us and we will get the ball rolling.
Excellent. And you can call us. You can call us at 415-723-1625 because you know we love a good voicemail.
Guess that's it.
I guess so. Thank you so much again, Aaliyah, Nick, Valley and Co. Christy, thank you for being you. I love you and I love your show very much.
Bye.